can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan. Look for a safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. Well, you can get vaxxed. You can get double vaxxed. You can get vax boosted. It doesn't matter. You cannot vaccinate yourself against the rightness of the Great One. There is no cure. There is no prevention. There's nothing you can do to stop the Great One himself from being right. God damn it. It's what I do. And every day there's a new variant. Every day, every single day, there's a new variant of the Great One being right. And I can't help it. I naturally mutate like that. Say, ah, Great One. Are we going to talk about the vax? Are we going to talk about the Wuhan? Are we talking about the Omicron? Well, maybe. We may not. I don't know. Depends if we get that far. We have something more important. Something more critical. I know it's hard to believe. More critical, more important than the Wuhan? The Omicron? It's coming for us? There's something more important than... Yes! You see, my friends, the Wuhan, as I predicted, has led the way. Did I really predict? I'm not really sure if I really predicted this or not, but I should have predicted it. The Wuhan has led the way. One thing I have said in the past, which is right, I talked about how statism is based upon fear. About how if you get people afraid, you can get them to do anything, believe anything, buy anything, fall for anything. Does anyone remember? We've seen the clips of Joe Biden saying, before he was president, you know, well, even if they invent a vaccine, who's going to take it? And all these Democrats who are talking, oh, well, nobody's going to take the vaccine. We can't blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly a Democrat is president. Now the vaccine is wonderful. And what did it take to convince people to allow themselves to be injected with the vax? Well, all they had to do was be afraid. All you had to do is scare them into thinking they're all going to die. And the pandemic, the virus, you know, the disease, the Wuhan, all of this scares people. Because nobody understands viruses, right? We've been talking about this for how long now? 600-something days to flatten the curve, right? How is it that if you sit down at a table in a restaurant, and you can take your mask off and you become immune to viruses when you're eating, but if you get up to walk to the bathroom, you're susceptible, you got to put a muzzle on? Nobody understands what's going on. Okay. So the great success, right? The Wuhan hoax has had great success, this huge amount of buy-in. Right? People are staying home. People are, you know, freaking out if people come too close to them. People are putting cloth over their faces. People are getting vaxxed. And the global warming wackos have been trying to alter people's behavior for, I mean, where are we now? 40 years of we're all going to die from global warming? The global warming wackos have been trying to alter people's behavior for 40 years and have mostly been unsuccessful. Right, they've managed to persuade a few fucking white women in North America to throw their water bottles in the recycle bin. And they've got some windmills built, which killed some birds. But other than that, they have been nowhere near as successful as the Wuhan wackos. Well, links will be in the show notes, as will PDF copies of all of these web pages. This is on some fucking website called Changing... Oh, no, well, no, it's called thehill.com. But at the top, it says Changing America, which we don't even need to go down that road. Shared destiny. I'm not sharing anything with you people. Shared responsibility. Responsibility? What are you talking about? Women are not responsible for anything. The pox are not responsible for anything. We certainly can't hold the Jews accountable for anything. What's this shared responsibility shit? What the fuck are you talking about? So anyhow, we scroll on down here and it says, Canadian woman. There's our first two problems. Canadian woman. We already know that this is not going to go well. Canadian woman becomes first person. Well, I mean, if it's Canadian and woman, I think we're using the term person very loosely here. Canadian woman becomes first person diagnosed. Because see, the global warming racket, they've learned. See, if we could turn this into a disease, if we could make this into a virus, Canadian woman becomes first person diagnosed as suffering from climate change. I'm honestly surprised it took this long. Quote, if we're not looking at the underlying cause and we're just treating the symptoms, we're just going to keep falling further and further behind, unquote, the doctor responsible for the diagnosis said. Then we have the obligatory video that it forces an autoplay that I have to turn off. All right, here we go. Thankfully, these are all pretty short and concise. I appreciate when the mainstream media takes its lies and packs them down into articles that are short and concise instead of long-winded. That's why we might actually get through everything I have queued up today, providing I don't tangent too much, because all of this is pretty short. A Canadian woman. I just have to pause so we can all laugh. A Canadian woman could be. Well, wait a minute. Is she or is she not? Could be. Maybe somebody else has been diagnosed as suffering from climate change and we just don't know about it. Although how we would not know about that, I don't know, because I'm pretty sure the media would tell us about it. A Canadian woman could be the first patient to be diagnosed as suffering from climate change after doctors said heat waves and poor air quality brought on acute breathing problems. Kyle Merritt, an emergency room doctor in Nelson, British Columbia, who is responsible for the diagnosis. Now, let's pause a moment. Let's talk about emergency room doctors. I know, I understand that the NPCs and the normies, which are two different things, well, that's not tangent. I understand the NPCs and the normies, and maybe even some of you who listen to this podcast. To you, see, here's the problem. Okay, all right. Let's just go down this path. See, everybody gets their education from the television. People think science is what you see on Star Trek. And people think that scientists, well, this scientist said global warming is real. Okay, well, what does this scientist fucking know? Like, what is this person's specialty? Oh, geology. Okay, well, that person doesn't know much about climatology. There's no such thing as a scientist. There are geologists. There are botanists. And in botanists, there's botanists to understand these kind of plants. And there's botanists to understand those kind of plants. It's like, you know, back when I worked in fucking biomedical research, we had actual real virologists. Okay? Not virologists like these people you know who watched a video on YouTube and now know everything there is to know about the Wuhan virus. I'm talking about real virologists. Okay? These people went to school, to college, went into debt, right, for 8 years, 10 years, maybe 12 years, learning about viruses, all right? And even then, the virologist, because we'd have presentations, for the virologist would give us presentations so we knew what's going on. And the other virologists who were studying other viruses and guys studying bacteria and tuberculosis, other stuff, they would come to these things because this virologist is up here. He's studying this virus over here. But this virologist over there, because he's not a fucking retard, he knows good and well he doesn't know anything about that virus. So even virologists, you get two virologists in a room. One of them knows a lot about this virus, but none know jack shit about that other virus, right? It's not like on TV where people, well, I'm a scientist. So therefore this scientist must know everything about every form of science in existence. That's not how it fucking works. It's the same thing with doctors. But, well, he's a doctor. I don't give a shit. A doctor of what? Some doctors specialize in ears and eyes and throats. Some doctors specialize in feet. Some doctors specialize in neurology. Some doctors specialize in cancers. And you know what emergency room doctors specialize in? Pretty much stopping the fucking bleeding. That's what they specialize in. Nobody in the history of fucking modern medicine has ever got a diagnosis from an emergency room doctor. Emergency room doctors do not give diagnoses. An emergency room doctor, if you come in and something's going on, he stabilizes you sufficiently and makes some guesses, and then he sends you along to, like, if he thinks your problem is with your GI tract, he sends you to a doctor who knows something about the fucking GI tract. Emergency room doctors do not make diagnoses unless they would like to have their name in the media and get their 15 minutes of fame. Okay, so I don't give a flying shit, other than the fact that it's funny, and I'm going to make fun of him and talk about it on the podcast, but the fact that Kyle Merritt, an emergency room doctor, is responsible for the diagnosis tells me that this is a fucking non-event. This is a non-medical event. This is a non-diagnosis. This is Kyle Merritt trying to get attention. And it's working. Kyle Merritt, an emergency room doctor in Nelson, British Columbia, who is responsible for the diagnosis, told Glacier Media that it was the first time in a decade he had determined a patient's cause of suffering to be climate change. So does that mean more than a decade ago he did the same thing? I don't even know what that means. Quote, if we're not looking at the underlying cause and we're just treating the symptoms, we're just going to keep falling further and further behind, unquote, he said. He then, of course, utilized a bunch of electricity that was generated by burning fossil fuels. He went and got in his car that was powered by dead dinosaurs, which oil isn't really dead dinosaurs. It's dead plants and fungus and stuff like that. The whole dinosaur thing is just an expression. Oil is not really dead dinosaurs. I hope I don't have to explain that to my audience. Okay, Merritt added that the patient, who was in her 70s, and thus had hit the wall a really long time ago and is completely insignificant, was diagnosed in the summer shortly after a heat wave in June sent temperature soaring past 121 degrees Fahrenheit. Record-breaking heat in Canada this summer. Record-breaking heat in Canada this summer is believed to have killed, believed. So they believe. Do you have evidence? Well, no, but we believe it. Is believed. Record-breaking heat in Canada this summer is believed, because we have no evidence, to have killed more than 500 people in British Columbia alone, according to coroner reports, which of course we know coroner reports are always incredibly accurate. And wildfires caused the air quality in the province to become 43 times worse than levels deemed acceptably safe through July and August. 43 times, sure. Quote, she has diabetes. She has some heart failure. She lives in a trailer, no air conditioning, unquote, Merritt said of the patient. Quote, all of her health problems have been worsened and she's really struggling to stay hydrated, unquote. So if we care about this woman so much, could we buy her an air conditioner and get her some water? Clinicians in Nelson, following the diagnosis, launched Doctors and Nurses for Planetary Health. Doctors and Nurses for Planetary Health. Hold on, you know what? Dare I even? Let me drop that into Google. Clinicians for Planetary Health. Here it is. Let's look at this website real quick. Planetary Health Alliance. Clinicians for Planetary Health. Well, there's over 700 of us. Our approach, developing outreach materials for healthcare settings that encourage individual and community level planetary health action. Oh God, this is nauseating. Oh God. And of course, okay, so it's a wall hitting woman, a man, and of course a pox. All right, moving on. Let's get back. We don't have time to tangent. launched Doctors and Nurses for Planetary Health, an initiative of about 40 healthcare professionals, quote, working to better human health by protecting the planet, unquote, according to the group's Twitter page. Of course, they have a Twitter page. Quote, I don't think people realize the impacts of environmental degradation and climate change on human health. Merritt told the local British Columbia news outlet Calster News during a climate action demonstration last week. Dude, don't you have a job? Quote, working with patients directly, we are actually starting to see the health effects of climate change now. It's not just something that is going to happen in the future. Unquote. So there it is. This woman has been diagnosed as suffering from climate change. Now over here at breezyscroll.com, where I go for all my news, Canadian woman becomes first patient diagnosed with climate change. Okay, we are all suffering due to climate change. But this Canadian woman becomes the world's first patient to be diagnosed with climate change. And here's a picture. I'm assuming it's a picture of the doctor, and he looks very gay. This Canadian woman, who is facing breathing problems, is possibly the world's first patient to suffer from the direct effects of climate change, blah, 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 diagnosed after a heat wave, all of our same stuff. Oh, here we go. This is classic. All of her health, this is the quote from Dr. Kyle Merritt. All of her health problems have worsened, and she's really struggling to stay hydrated. We had to figure out how to cool someone in the emergency department. People were running out to the dollar store to buy spray bottles, unquote. Okay, now, once again, this is Canada. I've only worked in hospitals in the United States. People come into emergency rooms quite frequently, often enough, with very high fevers. This was even before Wuhan, because you get a fever when you get sick. Emergency rooms, at least the ones in the United States, have methodologies for cooling people's bodies. This is why I don't want to travel to foreign countries. You know, women, travel. No, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I am very spoiled. I like running water. I like running water that's clean. I like electricity. I like gas stations. I like supermarkets. And yes, the medical care is expensive and it's fucked up in a whole lot of ways. Okay. I'm not saying it's not. There's a lot of fucking problems with our medical system. All right. But I like going to emergency rooms where the people who work there know how to cool somebody down. I'm not going to go to some fucking third world country like Canada where the emergency room goes to the dollar store and buys spray bottles to spray water on somebody to lower their body temperature. I mean, this is fucking pathetic. I got to listen to fucking libtards. Oh, Canada has such a great healthcare system. Let me tangent for a minute and tell this story for those of you who are new. Because this is from way, way back in the day. This is a long story. I'm going to try to make it as brief as possible. Yes, that was a joke. So I knew this woman, family, husband, kids, and she had this kid that was in a wheelchair and was messed up mentally. You know, I don't remember exactly what was, you know, but mentally and physically retarded in the sense of what the word retarded actually means, not an insult. Okay. So the kid was messed up and they were from Canada and she would always be going on and on and on about how great the Canadian healthcare system was. Right. And so we're talking one time and somebody said, well, why did you come to the United States? And she said, well, we came to the United States because in Canada, the healthcare system there wasn't going to do anything for our child and was just going to let the kid die. But we could come to America and get care for our child. And we all just kind of looked at each other. It's like, hold on, we've just heard for the last 2 years that we've known you how great the Canadian healthcare system is. Well, it's free. No, it's not free, you stupid. And that's Canada. That's fucking Canada. She leaves the fucking country to come here to get the health care to keep her fucking kid alive. But she can't shut up about how wonderful the fucking Canadian system is because it's free. Well, of course it's free. They don't even know how to cool people down in the emergency room. I mean, you get what you fucking pay for. All right, but we have to keep going because it gets better. Canada saw a historic heat wave in June. Unfortunately, thick smog season, wildfires, record-breaking temperatures, 43 times acceptable level, air quality. All right, the doctor in British Columbia noted that the senior citizen was suffering from asthma. But this was the first time that he attributed climate change as a direct cause of suffering. Quote, if we're not looking at the underlying cause, we're just treating the symptoms. See, it's the same doctor. It's the same quote. Okay, same quote. Hold it. The doctor noted the senior citizen was suffering from asthma. Over here, it says, quote, she has diabetes, period. She has some heart failure. Wait, hold on. Is she suffering from asthma or does she have diabetes and heart failure? Which is it? Is it all three? Is it none of them? I don't know. Great one. Why don't you believe what's in the news? I don't know. I can't figure it out. So is she really suffering from global warming? Or is she suffering from diabetes, heart failure, asthma, not drinking water, a lack of air conditioning, and going to an emergency room where the doctors, I'm making air quotes around the word doctor, especially since we're talking about Canada, where the doctors don't know how to fucking cool people's bodies down. By the way, there's this thing called an ice bath. They also have ice packs. Emergency rooms, guarantee a big enough emergency room has a fucking ice bath in it. And this is exactly like Wuhan. Well, he died of Wuhan. Well, no. He got Wuhan, but then he got pneumonia. And then he had a stroke. And then his family pulled the plug on his life support. Okay? He did not die of Wuhan. There's a whole chain of events there that had nothing to do with Wuhan. Unless you're going to tell me Wuhan causes strokes and Wuhan causes people to unplug your life support system. He did not die of Wuhan, and this woman is not suffering from global warming. This woman is suffering from, number one, being a woman, number two, being old, and number three, being Canadian. Quote, we are in the emergency department. We look after everybody, from the most privileged to the most vulnerable. From cradle to grave, we see everybody. And it's hard to see people, especially the most vulnerable people in our society, being affected. It's frustrating. Oh, the most I'm so fucking sick of hearing about the most vulnerable people, right? That's the whole thing, the whole 15 days to flatten the curve. That was 660 days ago or whatever it was at this point. You know, everything, we have to do everything for the most vulnerable. Once again, it's just like public school. Why is everyone who comes out of public school stupid? Because everything in public school has to be dumbed down to the level of the stupidest person in the room. And we're doing the same thing to our society on a whole. Everything is dumbed down to the level of the stupidest NPC, the person who is the sickest, the frailest, who has the asthma, the heart condition, and the diabetes. Everything has got to be dumbed down so that that person's life can be extended for as long as possible. Because we just have this weird thing, which I still blame on the boomers, that the boomers gave birth to this notion that no one's ever supposed to die. And all this shit, you've heard this fucking shit, this saying about how, you know, society is judged by the way it treats its most vulnerable population, or, you know, some variation of that. And like, no, it's not. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? That is not how a society is judged. A society is judged by its successes. And that brings us to this, which I came across many months ago. And we're just now getting to it. This is from July 7th, 2021. By the way, when did these come out? The woman with the, this was November 9th, 2021 from the Breezy site, whatever the fuck that is. And thehill.com, theirs came out. Is there a date? Come on, November 8th, 2021. Okay, here we go. July 7th, 2021. Scientist. What kind of scientist? Geologist? Botanist? Physicist? What kind of scientist? Scientist! With federal grants. Your tax money. Studying temperature at which humans spontaneously die with increasing urgency. Come on. Are you serious? Is there anyone not laughing? Let me read that again. I want you to keep a straight face. Scientists studying temperature at which humans spontaneously die with increasing urgency. Now, here's what I want to know. If you've been vaxxed, isn't that going to save you? Because the vaxxed, they have a lesser chance of dying from everything because they've been vaxxed. Does the WuVax protect you from the effects of global warming? Wet bulb conditions are when heat and humidity can cause otherwise healthy humans to overheat and die. They're happening more often than ever. Cause otherwise healthy humans to overheat and die. I don't think this is satire. I'm looking for an indicator. It's written by a woman. So we know that it's retarded, but there's no indication here. I'm seeing that this is satire. Last week's historic heat wave, blah, blah, blah. The temperatures are now being attributed to an excess of 100 deaths across the region. The heat can feel apocalyptic, and scientists are increasingly studying the heat and humidity conditions at which some humans suddenly die, a phenomenon that is becoming increasingly common as a result of extreme weather driven by climate change. And is perhaps best illustrated in a study published last year in Science Advances, alarmingly titled, alarmingly titled, quote, "The Emergence of Heat and Humidity Too Severe for Human Tolerance," unquote. Originally, conditions like this weren't expected until the mid-21st century, according to climate models. Because, you know, the climate models have been right so many times. But they are actually already here. In that study, Radley Horton, Lamont Research Professor at Columbia's University Lamont Dorton, the Earth Observatory, and co-authors surveyed weather station data from around the world collected between 1979 and 2017 and found over 7,000 instances of so-called wet bulb conditions, which can lead to human deaths. Wet bulb temperature is the point at which humidity and heat hit a point where evaporation due to sweat no longer works to cool a person. Most of these wet bulb conditions were concentrated in South Asia, the coastal Middle East, and Southwest North America. Areas denoted in red and orange on a map Horton and his colleagues created below. Is it? There's no map here, sweetheart. A woman wrote, sweetheart, did you proofread? If you're going to say you're going to include a map, include the fucking map. Christ almighty. But they should be allowed to vote. Proofread your fucking work, sweetheart. The conditions aren't actually that hard to imagine. Wet bulb conditions occur when relative humidity is above 95% and the temperatures are at least 88 degrees Fahrenheit, according to the study. The human body, Horton's study found, is essentially unable to withstand wet bulb conditions at all once temperatures hit 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Under these conditions, it's possible for otherwise healthy people to die. Now here's a question. What if a person who has Wuhan is in a wet bulb condition? Did the wet bulb / global warming kill them? Or did the Wuhan kill them? Quote, even if they're in perfect health, even if they're sitting in the shade, even if they're wearing clothes that make it easy in principle to sweat, there's clothes that make it easy to sweat. Okay. Even if they have an endless supply of water, if there's enough moisture in the air, it's thermodynamically impossible to prevent the body from overheating, unquote, Horton said. No, but you can move. You can go somewhere else. Horton's research was supported by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, meaning that the U.S. government has been actively funding this with your tax money, the tax money it wasn't spending to drop bombs on people in Afghanistan, where the most powerful and well-funded military on the planet Earth subsequently got its ass kicked by some guys who herd goats. But that's probably because the goat herders amongst their ranks don't have any trannies or homosexuals or women, unlike the United States military. So it's not what it says, excuse me, but it should. Horton's research was supported by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, meaning that the U.S. government has been actively studying the weather conditions at which otherwise healthy humans spontaneously die. Quote, some locations have already reported combined heat and humidity extremes above humans' survivability limit, unquote, an NOAA press release stated. The NOAA is also supporting a few projects that further study wet bulb conditions. Now, so far, has anyone actually, these conditions occur at some places on the planet Earth. Okay. Are there any people in these places? If so, what are they doing hanging around outside in these conditions? The problem is, the atmosphere's ability to take up moisture is finite. Water can only transform into a gaseous state if the air surrounding the body is dry enough to accept it. In overly humid conditions, sweat is less likely to evaporate into the atmosphere than in dry conditions, Horton said. Dry heat, like the desert, is typically more comfortable than a humid heat for this reason. Quote, we need a differential between the human body and the environment. And if the air is already holding as much moisture as it can, you don't have that gradient. Your body's not able to get the atmosphere to take the moisture from it. Unquote. People are, and while all of this makes sense, once again, the scare tactics, these headlines, the temperature at which people spontaneously die. Because once again, remember, your average NPC isn't reading past the headline. And the second point is, once again, why are people hanging out in these places? Go in the house, turn on air conditioner, use a dehumidifier, move. And do these conditions exist? No. How long exactly does this condition exist of the 95% humidity? So on humid days, the water our bodies emit just stays there, getting hotter and hotter, blah, blah, blah. Growing number of other regions are nearing this point. The Southeast U.S., the Gulf of Mexico and Northern Australia, all denoted by green on the map, which I didn't include when I wrote this because I'm an idiot, are seeing higher daily maximum wet bulb temperatures. Horton believes that in the short term, he saw who? Horton believes that in the short term, reducing exposure to wet bulb temperature will be a matter of behavioral adaption. Simply avoiding these conditions by taking respite in air conditioning, for example. But as the severe heat straddles the country and energy grids in Texas, New York, and beyond show signs of buckling under the pressure of extreme use, the reliability of air conditioning becomes increasingly uncertain. Well, what if everybody turned off their televisions and stopped charging their fucking iPhones? How about that? What if everybody just goes out? Well, you could go outside and sit in your electric car and run the air conditioner there, right? I mean, your electric car is magical. It has no effect on the grid whatsoever. Access to air conditioning is also not guaranteed. Notes. See, now here's where we start going really off the deep end. Migrant and farm laborers, and the farm labor, or bleh.
Take seven.
Migrant and farm laborers and those living in energy poverty will have a harder time withstanding these conditions by cooling off indoors, he says. Oh, no. Now we got another fucking crisis that we've got to solve, because there's these, oh, the poor disadvantaged people, the poor, you know, the migrants. Oh, they don't have air conditioning. See, you white people, you have air conditioning privilege. What are we going to do for the migrants who don't have the air conditioning privilege that you have? Matthew Lewis, director of communications at Housing Advocacy Group California, of course, noted in a recent Twitter thread, because everything is on Twitter, it's like Twitter is reality nowadays for these fucking people, noted in a recent Twitter thread that wet bulb temperatures could soon be a factor at the helm of climate migration. Ah, climate migration. Quote, many of the places humans currently live on the planet are on their way to being functionally uninhabitable by humans. They will have to move, unquote. Now, these parts of the planet that are going to become functionally uninhabitable, I wonder if there are going to be places on the planet Earth that are primarily filled with pox. And then when they have to move because the place they're in is no longer habitable because of global warming, I wonder if they're going to need to move to countries that are filled with and have infrastructures that were built and financed by white people. Oh, I wonder if that's how it's going to... I wonder if the ultimate goal here is simply the Great Replacement. No, that couldn't be it, could it? That couldn't be what's really going on. Lewis urges states and municipalities to prepare for this eventuality. Quote, depose the NIMBYs in your city government. Defeat the car stands who deny that all of this is happening, unquote, Lewis wrote. He also urges weather broadcast to include wet bulb indicators in temperature announcement. God damn it. He urges the great one to learn how to talk. Which is not unreasonable, given the current conditions. He also urges weather broadcasters to include wet bulb indicators in temperature announcements as a matter of public service, the way some do air quality and humidity metrics. Horton says, quote, feels like measurements are the closest many forecasts come to this, but units aren't standardized across weather stations, and this can create confusion. Yes, because some people be confused. It's hot outside. Oh, are you sure? I'm really confused. Quote, the very fact that there isn't one standard that everyone uses and that most people couldn't explain exactly what these mean suggests that we could do more, unquote, he said. He said that. We could do more. We could always do more. Oh, there's always more that's got to be done. The temperature at which humans spontaneously die with increasing urgency. So we got time. Let's talk about the increasing urgency of the Wuhan. The Omicron. So Adam Piggott. And the reason I quote the Adam Piggott so much is not just because he's Australian and because he's gay and I like to make fun of him, but his website, his blog really is about the only thing I regularly read. So a while back, he published a thing where he talked about, do I have it open? I do. Omicron is their get out of jail free card. And he's going down here and he's saying blah, blah, blah. That he got something somewhere that the Omicron is not that big of a deal and the symptoms are mild. I was trying to find, where'd he write it at? Okay, first we had credible reports, blah, blah, blah. Then the WHO, back to the media began to change tune. This new variant could offer natural immunity. What? But then the massive, incredible, this extremely mild version, yada, yada. So I don't know where he got this from, but here's the things I'm seeing. Over here at thehill.com, they're changing America with our shared destiny and shared responsibility. Here we go. Top South African expert says Omicron is surging. Surging, guys. This is from December the 3rd in the year 2 RD. Surging among children under 5 years old. What did I say, guys? Not only did we get a new variant for Christmas, what did I say, however many podcasts ago? Who's its target audience? Children. Because who hasn't got enough vax yet? Children. We got to get those children vaxxed. And just conveniently, when the pharmaceutical corporations really need to start vaxxing your children, just conveniently, the Omicron shows up and it's surging among children under 5 years old. Isn't this convenient? Health officials in South Africa say the new Omicron coronavirus variant appears to be spreading much faster throughout the country than previous strains of the virus, while there's been an increase in hospital admissions among young children. My, isn't that convenient? The highly mutated new variant was designated a variant of concern by the World Health Organization last week, has fueled a surge of new infections, and is now the dominant strain in South Africa. Well, South Africa's not that hard to dominate. It's not like they have roads or electricity or plumbing or anything. Health officials in the country on Thursday reported the country clocked out more than 11,000 new cases. Officials said the Gautama province, which contains the city of Johannesburg, is experiencing a rise of severe infections in children under five. Woo! Scary. Woo! Now, are these children spontaneously combusting from heat exposure as well? Is global warming affecting? Is this really not even a Wuhan infection? Maybe they should be diagnosed in Canada with suffering from global warming. How do you know that's not what's going on? It's clear, quote, this is a quote, it's clear in Gautama, the week-on-week increase we're seeing in cases and admissions is higher than we've seen here before. We've seen quite a sharp increase in hospital admissions across all age groups, but particularly in those under five, unquote. Wasila Janat, public health specialist at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, said, according to the Daily Beast, that's where I get my information from. Quote, we've always seen children not being very heavily affected by Wuhan epidemic in the past. And this has been a problem for the pharmaceutical corporations, which need to get their chemical into as many people as possible. So that's not what it says. Sorry, it should. Quote, we've always seen children not being very heavily affected by the Wuhan epidemic in the past, not having many admissions. In the third wave, we saw more admissions in young children under five and teenagers 15 to 19. And now, at the start of the fourth wave, ooh, we're on the fourth wave already, we have seen quite a sharp increase across all age groups, but particularly in those under fives. Unquote. Jeanette said she believes, there's our next problem. Jeanette said she believes there may be an immunity gap and lack of vaccination among children may be the result of the increased hospitalizations. Well, isn't that convenient? See, the increased hospitalizations are not caused by the effects of global warming or the effects of a poor diet or the effects of not having an immune system because you're unhealthy. No, no. It's caused because of the lack of vaccination. Boy, I bet the pharmaceutical corporations just were so happy to see this. Researchers stressed, however, it was too early to know whether children were particularly susceptible to the Omicron strain. So on one hand, you're telling me there's more kids going to the hospital than ever before, but on the other hand, you're telling me, well, it's too early to know whether the children are particularly susceptible. On Thursday, health experts said data suggested the variant may carry a higher risk of Wuhan reinfection than previous strains of the virus. And I'm just saying, and I just want to point out that all of this is exactly the opposite of what Adam wrote. Now, Adam, I'm not saying Adam made that up. He got it from somewhere. So here's my question. Where did he get this from? I mean, this is saying that the Wuhan could be reinfecting people at three times the rate, right? And that there's more people and younger people. And wherever Adam got his information from is saying exactly the opposite. You gotta believe the experts, though. Well, which experts are we believing? On Thursday, health experts said data suggested, which is also one of those phrases, does the data actually indicate or does it suggest? Because those are two different things, okay? It's like if you could suggest to a woman that she has sex with you, or you can rape her. But those are two very different things. Health experts said data suggested the variant may carry a higher risk of Wuhan reinfection than previous strains of the virus. A preprint study found the variant could be reinfecting people at three times the rate of Beta and Delta, suggesting Omicron is, quote, associated with a substantial ability to evade immunity from prior infection, unquote. But magically enough, it won't be able to evade the vax. See, this is a press release for the vax. This is a commercial to sell the vax. That's what this entire quote unquote article is. Researchers are still working to determine how well current vaccines on the market hold up against the strain, which has been identified in more than 20 countries. Well, I'm sure you'll need at least a booster. I mean, how could you not? Statement from Mayor de Blasio on Omicron variant. Oh, hang on. I didn't save this page, actually, as a PDF. Let me do that real quick. Save PDF. Save, yes. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio today released the following statement on the Omicron variant in New York City. Because when you're dealing with a pandemic, you know, you don't go to scientists or doctors for information about a virus, which you shouldn't, unless they're actually virologists. You should go to Canadian emergency room doctors. That would be where you should go for your authoritative information on viruses. You go to Mayor de Blasio. Quote, we are aware of a case of the Omicron variant identified in Minnesota that is associated with travel to a conference in New York City, and we should assume there is community spread of the variant in our city. We are working closely with the state and the CDC, as well as the Javits Center's event organizers, and our test and trace corps will be contacting conference attendees. Test and trace corps. New York has a test and trace core. Now let's pause for a moment, because the great one has said this is never going away. So you've created some organization called the test and trace core, whose job is to test people for Wuhan and trace their contacts. I'm guessing that that's what it is, but that must be what it is. Okay, if the pandemic goes away, these people don't have jobs anymore. And these are government jobs. Government jobs do not go away. This is never going away. Let me say it one more fucking time. The Wuhan pandemic is never going away. There's too much money tied up in this. There's too many government jobs tied up in this. There's too much government funding tied up in this. And there's too much opportunity to shoot vaxes into a huge chunk of the population twice a year. You're going to get two boosters a year, guys. You're going to get two boosters a year. You're welcome. Our test and trace corps will be contacting conference attendees. The conference required mask and So if it required mask, then nobody could get infected, right? If the muzzles work, then everyone is safe. The conference required muzzles and complied with our key to NYC requirement to mandate vaccination. Okay, great. So everybody at this conference was muzzled and vaccinated. So let's see if anybody from this conference gets the Omicron. Anyone who attended the Anime New York City conference, especially anyone experiencing symptoms, should get tested immediately, take additional precautions, including social distancing. I urge all New Yorkers to get vaxxed, wear a muzzle while indoors and in public, and help our city beat this virus once and for all. Guys, you're not going to beat the virus once and for all. It's not going to happen. The virus is here forever. What the fuck?